everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I cannot believe the news out of Las Vegas. No more Elvis impersonator weddings at the chapels. Did you hear about this?
Brand new news to me.
Well,
what
I'll
in
tell
the world
you.
Is going on?
I knew there must be some licensing group that controls the king's, you know, images and all that stuff. Well,
the Graceland.
They said no more Elvis impersonators in Las Vegas. So
are they going to still have weddings at the chapel in Graceland?
I'm sure. Yeah, they're kind of doing some different kinds of things too. Let's call it a workaround at some of the chapels. You know, they kind of look like Elvis anymore, but they don't say they're Elvis impersonators.
The
anyway,
city that Elvis
built.
Yeah,
that's kind of the big story of the day. Not really. Steve Christie's with me. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Nice to see you again. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, 50 years. I hear
the first 49 are the toughest.
Yeah, and we were really married young. So if people want to know, 50 years, Bill's got to be really an old guy. No. Ann and I were married young, but we had a great trip. We saw 50th state, Hawaii, and the 50th anniversary, and couldn't beat it. It was a great time. Today is Thursday, Steve. It's June 2nd already, 2020. We're in our 12th year on the radio, 34th year here on radio and TV, and that I was looking at... took another look at your bio. I hadn't looked at the official bio. You were in the automobile business for 35 years, approximately, starting as a boy that, what do they call that?
Lap boy.
What'd you go out and clean?
Mm-hmm.
Clean cars and you know, take the dust off them. And that was at Galloway Motors, 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the year after... Ann and I were married. Wow, 73.
That was between my freshman and sophomore year in college. During the summer, I started there.
You worked your way up.
Yeah. That was really the only way my stepdad, Ed Galloway, would allow it. He said, if you want to come into this business, you're going to have to learn it from the bottom up and
so
all
phases.
So
he wasn't going to put you immediately on the sales floor.
No, it took several years for that. And I started in the service department and emptied trash and ran parts and washed cars. And
you were a service writer.
And then I became a service writer, my lot boy experience. Then I became a service writer where people come in and yell at you because they're mad that the car's not right and you have to be very understanding. And
That probably hasn't changed
You really haven't lived until you get a call from a customer who's out at Tucson International Airport in the middle of a July thunderstorm and their window won't roll up and they have a plane coming that they've got to catch in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That gets your heart rate going.
Then, of course, you went on to have your own dealership, Steve Christie, Chrysler and Jeep. And people still say, oh, Bill, I love you on TV. They remember me from Arizona Illustrated. And I know this happens to you at least once a week.
Oh.
They say, maybe it's more, that they say, Steve Christie, I bought a car from you, and I had a great experience.
All the time. And just a couple of weeks ago, I was getting my teeth cleaned, and the technician said, so how's the car business? And I said...
See, there you go.
I said, well, I haven't been in it since 2007.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, what do you do now?
See?
And I said, I'm a county supervisor.
And she wasn't really familiar with the supervisor.
She goes, which county?
Yeah, which county? Oh, boy. Well, Steve is a Pima County supervisor, and he I guess we could call him now Steve, quote, I love being your supervisor, Christie, and it's even now on your website. I looked up your website.
I didn't realize it was on there, but
it's on there now.
No truer words
were
spoken.
There you go, and Steve Christie is the lone Republican on the 5-member Pima County Board of Supervisors serving his second term. Is the Huckleberry dust up behind us?
I don't think so. Certainly it's not behind us as far as I'm concerned. I think there remain certain issues that are unresolved and need to be discussed. I'm getting continual calls and emails and letters of outrage from my constituents and from people in general that really want more transparency in what actually happened, and how deep into the administration this type of behavior that Mr. Huckleberry went through as far as his resignation and not telling anyone about him changing his status. So I don't think it's done. We're still peeling back a lot of layers of the onion, and I think there's going to be some more revelations coming forth, and I'm going to pursue them.
What would satisfy you at this point, Steve Christie? I mean, right? Would you like what? Well, I'll ask, you know, what would it take for you to put this episode behind us?
I think basically a complete statement or time frame of who knew about this. Why was it kept secret? Why was it necessary to keep it secret? Why wasn't it divulged to at least the Board of Supervisors in some sort of fashion? That's one. Secondly, there's another issue with COVID premium payments that were made to a number of middle managers and county administrator department heads that were made anywhere from $2,500 to $5,200 over a very short time period, and it was apparently, by what we can see, it was all legal, and that it could be done under the ARPA funds or the recovery funds. But my question is, why did these people qualify for that kind of money as when they're already being paid very comfortable salaries? And what made them not forthcoming in the receipt of these monies? And it seemed like it was most inappropriate for those folks to be getting these kinds of bonuses from taxpayers when the COVID crisis was the mandates that the Board of Supervisors was imposing on our taxpayers here and our business owners and our students and our children and all of the onerous and really very difficult issues that they put forth. People lost their jobs. People lost their livelihoods. People lost their ability to earn a living as a result of these mandates, and yet we're bonusing county employees who always had a job, never missed a paycheck, and were being paid very, very lucrative salaries to begin with. There's something not right. And then you look at the list of the recipients of these bonuses, and a large degree of them were on the original list of Mr. Huckleberry's, quote, closely held employees that were instructed not to tell anybody about Mr. Huckleberry's job status. So there's just something, you know, that you get that feeling that you're not getting all the answers and that there's some cover-up going and that there's some issues that are unresolved and people don't want certain things divulged to the public. And it just has a really onerous atmosphere to it. And I think once we can get through that layer of the circling the wagons that we're going through right now, I think that's what the taxpayers and the residents of Pima County want. They want to know the facts. They want to know the details. And I can't blame them. I do too. And once those details are divulged, I'd be glad to put it to rest as long as there's some honest forthcoming about the chain of events that have occurred and the rationales behind them.
Let's switch gears here about fire safety. This is a very, very difficult couple of weeks we're facing here, Steve Christie. Virtually no rain. I think the official total, a half an inch of rain. It's been bone dry, and we've got to get through the next 3, maybe 4 weeks where we get some sizable rain. And the problem is that dry lightning issue is usually the week or so preceding our June and early July rains. What your district is really stepping up here, trying to get the word out. We really have to be careful.
Well, yes, and our office, particularly our chief of staff, has really shepherded and championed a FireWise program that started with the Mount Lemmon community, and we would print out and are printing out flyers that say, be fire safe this summer. Use safety to fire safety restrictions. Stage 2 fire safety restrictions. No campfires, no barbecues, no smoking, no driving off-road. We have the Sheriff's Auxiliary volunteers who are just fantastic and so generous with their time and commitment to fire safety, passing these out at the base of the Catalina Highway going up to Mount Lemmon on the weekends. And last weekend, they gave out over some thousand of them.
Good.
And so it's been so successful. We, knock on wood, haven't had any major fires in the last couple of years. We feel that this program that we've instituted here has been instrumental in that. We want to expand it to our whole district because our whole district has numerous vulnerable fire areas and fire dangers in the Rincon Valley.
So expand it just beyond Mount Lemmon.
Yeah, and we have the Mount Lemmon area. Now we're going to do it to the Rincon Valley area and down into Green Valley because they've had some real fire dangers over there. And the fire district captains and the Sheriff's Auxiliary volunteers are ecstatic that this is being made available throughout our district in these areas and has the full support and enthusiasm from these folks. So we're very proud of this 5-year program that we're doing, and we're going to keep doing it. And if there's anything that we can do to keep people cognizant and aware of fire danger, that's one more step that will prevent fires from happening. Now, the natural things that you talked about, we can't prevent them, but there's also a high degree of man-made causes of these fires. And we think that by making this very available and outsized to the general public, that they will pay more attention to these things, and we believe it's prevented fires.
Yeah, nobody wants a repeat of the 2020 Mount Lemmon fire where pretty much the Catalinas burned from one end to the other. It was bad.
Oh, that was the worst.
And it was horrible, and it went on for those of us that are very sensitive to wood smoke. Mm. It was horrible.
Yeah. We've had significant fires out in the Sonoyta, Patagonia area.
Already, yeah, I know.
North of there, that borders my district. Mm-hmm. We had that horrific fire 4 or 5 years ago. So there is this real fire potential, and we want to make people aware that they've got to be careful.
Good. I'm glad you and your team are doing that, and the Sheriff's Auxiliary. Kudos to them.
They
as
are
well.
Just terrific.
All right. Mona's Danish Bakery, Steve Christie, is our favorite bakery in town. You and I share a love of sweets. Yeah. I know that. We love cookies. We love pastries. Of any kind, and Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. And each day when I do the read for Mona's, I think about, well, what am I in the mood for? Because there's such a wide variety. Believe it or not, on my mind right now would be a beautiful piece of carrot cake.
Yeah. Well, does certainly get this
saliva
moving and flowing. But we want very much to have a Mona's down in the Green Valley area, as Dan Shearer pointed out.
Dan has, I heard that show, and Dan did such a great job filling in. When
I run for re-election, I'm going to make my whole campaign based on Mona's moving to Green Valley.
That sounds really great. I think Steve would probably be open to it, the owner up there. But right now he's got his hands full with increasingly more and more patrons. In fact, they wait for the doors to open. I don't blame them. It's 6:30 Sunday through Tuesday. I used to say every day of the week, but now, you know, they've been so busy, the family's got to take a day off. So they close the doors on Monday, and then they start baking really early, probably 2:00 in the morning on Tuesday morning to get things open. Anyway, monasdanishbakery.com. More with Steve Christie right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Board promised to fund projects from its 20-year regional transportation plan to the ballot amount. A recent state audit confirms the RTA is meeting its obligations. The RTA is now working with member jurisdictions to identify non-RTA funds to cover recent spikes in construction costs. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com to learn more about funding obligations.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. It's Buckmaster back in the saddle again after a couple of weeks off. This is our kind of transition week, so I picked a week where there's only 4 days, so I got Monday. So it feels actually kind of like today could be, what, Wednesday or something. But anyway, it is Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. And we'll have, by the way, as our Friday focus interview, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is with me in studio tomorrow. Steve, we have Constance... The new...
Hargrove.
Thank you, sir. The new Pima County Elections Director who came to Tucson from Virginia. We'll talk to her about what's going on. But before we continue with our conversation with Steve Christie, Steve, have you been over to Green Things? What a beautiful place over there on by the Rito River.
Numerous times.
Oh, yeah. So many people, it's a go-to place, just like Mona's Danish Bakery and their 13-acre site. We've been talking about, oh my goodness, we're waiting for the rains. Well, you can go to Green Things, and I hope you do, and ask the staff, what should we plant right now that we can get in the ground, and then when the rains do come, we'll get some nice color and get us through the summer. That's one of the selling points of Green Things, is a knowledgeable staff. And that goes back to you, Steve Christie, in the automobile business. What would your dealership have been like if you had people on the floor, salespeople, and they weren't knowledgeable about the product you were selling?
Well, we learned early on that the customer is much more well-informed of the details of the vehicles that we sell than our own sales representative. So it was product knowledge was the key to any kind of successful transaction, because the customer, if he or she sensed that the sales rep did not really fully know what he or she was talking about, they lost confidence in buying a car from us and in the product. So we had to even incentivize it with a pay plan on schooling and education and workshops of product knowledge, because if you go face to face with many people, which they don't do anymore now that it's all over the internet, which is kind of sad from my standpoint, because I always liked that one-on-one contact with our customers. But if you aren't up to speed on all of the details and the nuances and the abilities,
the engine package, well, the whole everything.
But yeah, more than that is it was just the beginning of the instrument, the high tech stuff.
Oh, you know, that was all coming into the
Bluetooth backup cameras, yeah, all those things.
Yeah. All right, it's greenthingsaz.com. Okay, since we last saw you, Steve Christie, City of Tucson voters overwhelmingly said they like the idea of extending their program, their sales tax program for roads, where the city is assuring people every road, every neighborhood will get attention within the 10 years. My question for you is, will this hurt the RTA next program, the renewal?
Well, I kind of had to take some notice when the mayor announced that the people of the city of Tucson voted for this overwhelmingly. Well, actually, it was roughly 25% of the eligible voters, so it wasn't a throng turnout by all of the populace. So she could claim a large victory as far as the numbers are concerned, but certainly the voter participation was really only 25%. But having said that, as is well known, I'm not a fan of the city of Tucson as far as its participation in numerous activities, water rates that they're imposing on folks
currently under litigation. Yeah,
currently under litigation in the unincorporated districts, but particularly with the RTA, and you can sense just from the statements being made by the mayor and certain city council members that they're being very tentative about their commitment, which leads me to think that they're in the back of their minds or in their back room plans. Eventually, they're going to pull out of the RTA, and this kind of puts that over the top, I believe, because what they can say now is, RTA, PAG, we have our own road money now. We don't need yours. Therefore, we don't feel compelled to involve ourselves in the RTA or contribute ourselves to the RTA. And we're going to handle our own road issues and leave the RTA. I predict that. And
I have not heard you say that before. Yeah, you're predicting that right now, that they will leave.
At some point, they're going to leave.
Not good news for the next program.
No, I it'll be a challenge. But on the other hand, when you have challenges, that's also opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to my contacts with PAG and RTA, as well as some of the folks that are the executives on the council, that it's time to start looking at alternatives to having City of Tucson involved in RTA.
Workaround?
As my certain colleagues like to use the term reimagine. Well, let's reimagine the RTA without the City of Tucson. And I'm sure we could come up with some terrific plans that would benefit those that have remained with the RTA.
But you're saying that needs to be done now.
It needs to be done now because I think I can't give a timeline, but I would say in well before the RTA comes up for renewal, that the City of Tucson is going to back out of membership in the RTA.
So what I'm hearing you say is, like I said a few moments ago, a workaround without the City of Tucson involved.
Yeah. And, you know, to this day, since they've been touting this tax to fix their roads, we've yet to see a road repair plan. We don't know how it's going to be developed, and we don't know what the details of it are. And that's concerning as well, because the longer they put it off, the more damage the streets are going to incur, and the more maintenance going to be needing, and the more costs are going to be involved. So it seems to me that if you're going to sell something and believe in it, you better show everybody what you're going to do. And the city of Tucson has yet to do that. And again, they'll be pulling out of the RTA.
All right. The county will be holding a taxation public hearing June 21st. I wanted to put that out there on the proposed tax increases, 9 a.m. on June 21st at the Board of Supervisors. I've only got a few seconds left, Steve Christie, but there is a new budget plan that was passed unanimously.
Mm. Yeah.
Were you half-heartedly enthusiastic? Or
not even half-heartedly. And by the same token, several of my colleagues have forwarded a wish list that they would like to see, for instance, an additional $6 million to the Department of Health, another $5 million for purchasing or converting Pima County-owned property into affordable housing. So it's going to be interesting.
All right, Steve Christie, thank you very much. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I want to talk a little bit about our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Makes such a great getaway. It's only about a three-hour drive over to the Silver City and Grant County area. And you can start your planning now by going to southwestnewmexico.org. For more information about things to do, and there are so many things to do over in that area, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and just enjoying cooler weather. We always talk about it. And when summer hits, Well, it's a selling point. It's 10 degrees cooler on average, sometimes more. Like it's 84 over in Silver City right now, and Tucson's probably in about 10 degrees, mid-90s right now. So it's a selling point. And a lot of people go over there, and I don't blame them. They want to cool off in that mile-high elevation. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Joining us in studio for his monthly visit, attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don, how are you? I know you were traveling. You had a nice visit, right?
I did, and I know you were traveling also.
We were. You saw some of the pictures. And
I did.
My wife, Anne, kudos to her for some of these photographs that she took on the trip to Hawaii. I mean, some of them, I believe, are award-winning. That picture she posted, we call it First Light over the Central Pacific.
I saw it.
Unbelievable. It was the clouds parting and the orange against the skyline of downtown Honolulu. Anne did just a fabulous job. That was, I think, our first morning in Hawaii. And, of course, with the time difference, we were up like at about 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, that picture was taken, I think, like about 5 as the light was just starting to break. What a great picture. But anyway.
It was great. And I'm glad you were able to come back in time to help usher in summer in Tucson.
Yeah, of course. And the bone dry conditions going from beautiful Hawaii with that. It's humid, but not that humid. And it's kind of just perfect.
It looked like paradise.
It really was. A lot to talk about today, Don. There's two more bills targeting COVID rules that are heading to the governor's desk. And this is, it's interesting because so many people, Don Luce, and I know you've got friends, I've got friends, seems like everybody's saying, I've tested positive. This seems to be the wave that the variant found the way around to the people who've been vaccinated. And it's like you take the total cases, like here in Pima County, it's like 2,000 a week, which is like 200 to 300 a day. Triple that because everybody's testing at home.
I think what's happening, Bill, is the variant has infected people who have already been vaccinated. Their symptoms aren't as severe as they might have been had they not been vaccinated, but we're seeing a pandemic that is leaving a wake of new cases. And the question becomes, from a legislative perspective, what action should the legislature take with regard to efforts to mitigate the infection rates? So talk about mask wearing, talk about requiring vaccines or vaccinations for school-aged children. Those two issues were actually addressed by the legislature last month, and both of those bills have been signed by Governor Ducey and will become law 91 days after the legislative session ends, which is expected to be sometime next month.
How's that going to affect future pandemics?
I don't know. And, you know,
One of the bills would ban any state or local government agency from requiring face masks, right?
That's
to be worn in their particular buildings.
Right. That's House Bill 2453, which was signed on May 20th.
Yeah.
And the other bill that was signed, HB 2086, bars vaccinations, mandatory vaccinations for public school children, so K through 12. Under this legislation, a public school district could not require that the children be vaccinated. But it's larger than that. These latest two bills, which will become law, are just additions to an already pretty long list of legislative initiatives that deal specifically with COVID-19. And if I might, I'd like to mention some of the bills that have previously been signed by the governor and essentially deal with the same type of COVID-related restrictions. So one, as I mentioned, these bills have already been signed, bars local governments from imposing mask mandates on residents. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Another one says that private businesses do not have to enforce state or local mask mandates.
Mm-hmm.
Yet another one says schools cannot require students to wear masks in class. Okay. So those bills have already been essentially approved. There are a couple of other bills that deal with the same subject. One is the schools are barred from requiring students to wear masks unless their parents gave their explicit approval. Another prevents government entities from requiring employees to show proof of COVID-19 vaccinations. So you have a relatively long list,
right,
of restrictions with respect to a virus that has created a multi-year pandemic. I think what's also interesting about especially these last two bills, the ban on mask requirements in government buildings and the bar barring schools from requiring COVID-19 vaccinations, is that not a single Democratic legislator supported those bills. Mm-hmm. It was entirely Republican sponsorship and support. And as I mentioned, Governor Ducey has signed both of those, and they will become law. So we've got in Arizona a fairly lengthy list of things that government cannot do, that school districts cannot do, that employers don't have to follow certain mandates. It's actually pretty incredible.
Well, again, it gets back to my feeling that this is going to be a big impact, Don, on future state leaders,
and
to respond to another airborne spreading disease, and it will happen.
Okay, so let's try to reconcile that list that I just went through with the CDC guidance that says clearly mask wearing during times of high community transmission of COVID-19 greatly limits its spread. So that's what the CDC says. I'm personally having difficulty reconciling some of these prohibitions or restrictions with the CDC guidance, because this legislation prohibits districts from taking action that the CDC might recommend in the future if another variant
sure.
comes out or is developed, which is entirely possible. And I think this summer we're seeing sort of a mild resurgence of infection rates with regard to the latest variant. So you have, I think, this push-pull dichotomy of what the CDC says and what the Arizona legislature has placed as restrictions on what government entities and school districts and the like can do or can't do.
All right. A note for you, Tom, in the other side of the glass. We'll keep it with Attorney Don Luce for about 5-6 more minutes. We'll take a break. Then we'll go to round out the show with former Parade Magazine science editor David Levy. A little bit of a housekeeping item there, Don. Sorry about that. Arizona GOP goes to court again to curtail early voting. So this thing is not done.
No. So this lawsuit is in the Arizona Superior Court. This lawsuit contends that the Arizona Constitution requires that voting be done at the polls. So just to put this in context, 90% of Arizona voters in the last election voted early.
Right.
This lawsuit is essentially asking the court to rule that early voting is not constitutionally permissible, that the framers of the Arizona Constitution specifically said that the voting has to be done at the polls, and therefore you can't mail in an early ballot and have it counted. It's kind of interesting because there is an exception, according to the plaintiffs in this case, for people who could show a specific excuse. So being elderly or in a nursing home or planning to be away from home on election day, those, according to this lawsuit, those would be okay. Those excuses would be permitted, but anything else would not enable you to vote early. Now, interestingly, these exceptions sort of predate 1991. So the plaintiffs in this lawsuit want to have the court essentially revert back to pre-1991 status, where the only way you could vote early was to show an excuse. They have a backup position, and that is another clause of the Arizona Constitution, which says secrecy in voting shall be preserved. Okay, so secrecy in voting shall be preserved. What they're saying is, when you vote early,
yeah,
the postman sees your ballot.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, the secrecy is violated. And the plaintiffs, I believe, are even contending that it would be possible for someone to make a list of people who have voted with their names and addresses and that sort of thing. And the backup argument in this lawsuit, as I understand it, is that that would violate the secrecy provision in the Arizona Constitution and therefore support yet again the notion that voters have to go to the polls on voting day to cast their ballot unless you have a specific excuse that was in existence prior to 1991.
That's a real stretch.
Probably. Yeah. Now, interestingly, well, at least from a lawyering perspective, this is a sort of a redo of a lawsuit that was previously filed, and the Arizona Supreme Court refused to hear it because the court said you can't short-circuit the trial phase. You have to go to the trial court first and have specific findings made by the trial judge, and then if you disagree with the result, you can bring it to the Arizona Supreme Court. So they dismissed the earlier case, and that was done earlier this year. The plaintiffs refiled the case. It's a little bit different this time, but nonetheless, it's a redo of something that had been previously dismissed.
All right, Don, we're going to have to leave it right there. Thank you very much, Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Two very popular books, both in their second printings, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, thank you very much. See you in July. Where'd the year go, right?
Exactly.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Buckmaster and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And we utilize the live line right now to visit with Dr. David Levy from his observatory in Vail, Arizona. Dr. Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine. He's now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization with 23 comets notched up on his comet discovery belt. He's one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine. I have to apologize to you, your staff, and your listeners, because there's something wrong with our other phone.
Uh-oh.
But here I am.
Ah, there you are, and we are glad you are with us. The Herculoid meteor shower was billed as something that would be perhaps quite spectacular, but David Levy, it didn't work out that way.
I'm going to call it the meteor shower that wasn't, or not so much, because Wendy and I went out, we watched during the entire time, and instead of seeing 100,000 meteors, we saw 18. Anyway, it wasn't too bad, and I got to sleep, and I woke up the next morning feeling a little bit bummed out until I looked at the pictures. And I've got a record 5 meteors were captured on camera.
Wow.
Even 4 of them were meteors I didn't even see.
Ooh.
The reason, Bill, was that they were going so slowly. And they were going very, very slowly. So like each one would appear, they'd say hello, and then disappear. And so I was able to get 5 of them, including 2 on a single frame.
Oh, my goodness. So it wasn't a complete bust at all. It sounds like there was a silver lining there for you, at least.
There was a definite silver lining also. When I looked over at the constellation of Leo, I could see a glow that night, which was the sun shining on all the meteoroids.
Wow.
And that was predicted as well when I saw that.
How'd that go last night at the temple?
Oh, the temple was beautiful. It was successful. I talked about Carolyn Shoemaker, talked about the discovery and death of Comet Shoemaker Levy-9, and we had a lovely observing session. It was an absolutely wonderful event.
Which temple was that in town here?
It was the Beth Shalom Temple Center in Green Valley.
Mm.
And it's the one we've been members of for years. We love it. It's a very welcoming place. And it really means the world to us.
Well, it sounds like you had a great evening last night. It's time for the Dr. David Levy quote of the month. Dr. Levy, what do you have for our listeners this month?
In honor of Carolyn Shoemaker, I'm going to quote her favorite line from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Come, gentle knight, come, loving, black-browed knight, give me my Romeo, and when he shall die, take him and cut him out in little stars. And all the world will be in love with night and pay no worship to the garish sun.
Very nice. A lot of people don't realize it, Dr. Levy, but your dissertation for your doctorate had to do with the intermingling of literature and astronomy.
Yeah, I did. And after it was already done, one of the people on the committee said, maybe you should suggest you do a more traditional topic. And my advisor says, I'll never do that because this is what he wants to do. And I did that and finished it. And so I was really very pleased about that. And I like to think Wendy is as well.
I was just curious, the Herculid, where'd that come from, that name, the Herculid meteor shower?
I believe that's from the Latin. I think it, I'm not sure of the meaning, but I think it means the shower from Hercules, or the shower from Perseus, or the shower from Gemini. I believe, I know the term is from Latin. I'm not exactly sure of the lexicon of the meaning, but I'm going to look it up, and I believe it's that's what it is.
David, one quick question for you. The summer sky viewing is upon us. The longest, let's see, this would be the longest day of daylight will be coming up June 21st, somewhere around there. How does that affect your viewing? What should we be looking for the night sky for the summer here?
Well, we have the regular meteor showers in July and in August. And I could tell you and my wife that on the beginning of the summer, I will stop doing my nightly Star Trek binges, and I will be spending the late night out on a clear night observing with my telescope, as is my tradition over the summer months.
Well, it's great viewing, isn't it, before the rainy season. I hope we have a good rainy season, and I hope we get some clouds. I know it's not the best for you, but we certainly definitely
we
need it so much. All right.
As you got when you were in Hawaii.
What was that?
As you got when you were in Hawaii.
Well, yeah, we had some interesting weather over there, a couple of tropical systems to the north up about on Kauai. I have never, David, seen the Hawaiian Islands, and we've been there probably half a dozen times, as green, at least the island of Oahu. It was unbelievable. Beautiful.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yep. All right. Dr. David Levy, always a pleasure. Thank you, David. I think we're all set for you in July. All right.
We are, and I won't lay you down next time.
You didn't let me down because we got you on the air, and that, in the end, is the most important thing. Thanks, David.
Yeah.
Our love to Wendy. Have a great afternoon. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Quick week, indeed, right? Got the new Pima County Elections Director on our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. So that's coming up in about, 23 hours. All right. On behalf of Tom, my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering, producing the show, Bill saying, have a great afternoon.